This explanation is enough to dispel the criticism that the new ritual can be tantamount to traditional rituals or continuation of them. Within the AIC, contextualization can find a comfortable home among the Zionist and Messianist cultures. It is partly applicable to Ethiopianism, but not at all in Pentecostalism. There are numerous Jewish biblical themes which can be developed to provide effective bridges into this kind of African worldview. It is important to understand the African worldview if theology and indeed missiology is to be meaningfully applied to meet the spiritual needs of the African. Now, the test of the pudding, the English says, is in the eating. The testimonies of ordinary members throughout the AIC is sufficient to convince the curious that this movement must necessarily grow and multiply. The chorus of a cherubim and seraphim hymn reads, "It is decreed in the heavenly court that this church must multiply. It is decreed in the heavenly court that it must grow from strength to strength, till there is no more blindness of mind lingering round in the world, till the death of the Redeemer will no longer be in vain." That is the chorus of a hymn that is very popular in the cherubim and seraphim. Among other visions and revelations, this song was recorded from the mouth of a prophet of the church when he was in a trance for 7 days. It has since become one of the most popular indigenous thanksgiving hymns of the church. Praying for resource is very endemic in the religion of the African. Before Christianity, he found satisfaction in the traditional religion. With the advent of Christian missionaries, the African found that the church prayer fell short of satisfaction. With the advent of the AIC mission, efficacy of prayer seems to be restored. The difference between the traditional religion and the AIC Christian mission is that the latter operates through the power of the Holy Spirit to find solution to problems, whilst the former operates through pagan means within the environment of a mixture of good and evil. Both offer comprehensive spiritual packages, whilst the missionary model offers partly spiritual and partly scientific or secular, and yet far from being comprehensive and satisfactory. This is how the African will evaluate the strengths, and this is what enables the African to make a choice. The effect is that the AIC membership grows significantly to the detriment of traditional religion, while it poses challenges to the missionary model for revival. With the presence of the AIC in Europe and America, the debate continues among missiologists as to whether the AIC have brought or are bringing a new branch of Christian message to Europe and America in reverse mission. Thank you.
invite questions. Before I do so, just to remind you that there will be tea and coffee served through in the dining hall if you want to stay and carry on talking. But we'll take a few questions whilst we're all together.
Just to clear some historical facts, basically. You mentioned that the Cathedral of Seraphim is the only church in Nigeria whose name came through a vision. But I recall that, according to several accounts I've read, the Redeemed Christian Church of God also had its name revealed in a vision to the founder, who was an illiterate, but through the vision he got, was able to write down the name. He didn't know what he had written until it was read and interpreted to him.
Yeah. Well,
the second one is, I don't know if I heard it correctly, but you seem to say that Nigeria was a Muslim nation first.
Yes.
At least Nigeria's history begins in 1914, when the North and the South were amalgamated by Lord Lugard. And the North had been, at that time, become a Muslim community from the Jihad of 1804. But even before the amalgamation, I recall that there were lots of missionary activity in the South, and even in the North. So I don't know how we can say that Nigeria was first a Muslim nation.
What I mean is that the Muslim mission came to Nigeria before the Christian mission.
Which Nigeria?
The same Nigeria. You see, from the north even to the south, there were a large population of Muslims. My grandfather, for instance, was a Muslim.
But it wasn't a nation. Nigeria as a nation was not in existence at the time. I know the Jihad.
I know what you mean. I'm talking of Nigeria as it is now. Nigeria as it is now.
Yes, beginning 1960?
Whatever in the 19th century, Muslim mission had come to Nigeria long before the Christian mission. And the Muslim region has spread from the north down to the south, and it is when the Christian mission came that Christian mission came with education. Christian mission came with the packages of religion, education, medication. So hospitals were established. Schools were established, and because of this, many people who were Muslims converted to Christianity through education, especially in Abeokuta, Lagos, and Ijebu areas, the people that were nearest to the coast, and then it spread inwards.
Well, I understand what you mean. It's just that, I was reacting to the word Nigeria, but it didn't exist at the time. I know historically, we had those movements. So
yeah, you are quite right. Now, the second or the first question as to the church that received
the
name, true vision. It is true. The Redeemed Christian Church is relatively new. In the interwar years, Cherubim and Seraphim actually was the first to come up in the early 20s. And it is not only that the names were given in vision, but also that Cherubim and Seraphim is the first that will be robed in whites. and without knowing what was going on in other parts of Africa, in South Africa, in Kenya, for instance. There was no communication. There was no knowledge of what was going on. But what I wanted to point out that there is that this is the working of the Holy Spirit. So it isn't a merit in itself that the name came from heaven, or it might be, but that's not particularly important.
Do the cherubim and seraphim wear turbans? Because the Aladura robed in white and wear turbans, and I think that if I remember rightly, the origin of that is Zechariah, you know, the high priest has his filthy robes taken away, he's given white robes and a clean turban. So that you have the robing in white, but less that the explanation may be different. The cherubim and the seraphim wouldn't use that text for the Zechariah text from this Joshua, the son of Jehozadak.
Actually, the cherubim and seraphim is varied. There are different groups. There are groups that wear hats in worship, and there are groups that don't. And I think of recent, you are quite right. I live in Birmingham, but occasionally I go down to London to visit, and I have seen around some of the cherubim and seraphim wearing turbans. Then I asked, what is this one? Well, they said they have their roots in the Bible. Because we like to say whatever we do is rooted in the Bible. Mm. So when some group come up and wrap the turban around, and we want to challenge them, they want to say, well, we are talking of what the Bible says. What are you talking about? So it is because we are not particularly harmonized. There is no uniform system throughout the cherubim and seraphims. So there are some. Those who wear turbans, they call themselves prophets.
Yeah.
It is not everybody that wears it.
No. Do all the different cherubim and seraphim groups then, do they all stem from Moses or Elijah?
Yes. Yes.
So they just sort of moved apart.
That's right.
Like Methodism.
Mm. or Baptist, for instance.
You spoke just then about different practices, ritual practices, different clothing. But I'm just wondering about different ethical ranges and cultural ranges, because you spoke about enculturation. You also spoke about the demise of a traditional religion because of the connection with African culture. But I think this is something comes up with many AICs. But in the case of cherubim and seraphim, what measure of control is there that they don't slide off the scale into traditional culture? As has happened in many parts of AIC, even in the Commandment Church section of it, it's gone very much more into traditional culture than Kimbangu himself would have done. I'm really asking about the cherubim and seraphim, what sort of control there is. Is there any control as to the limits of enculturation?
Well, that's a good question. The problem is because we have different factions within the church, and these factions are independent doctrinally, and now occasionally when one questions, hey, what are you doing there? Were you? Some of them, I must admit, in their prayers, use something like egg, and put down egg, and say whatever they want to say in egg, smash it or something like that. And when we say, hey, what are you doing there? That is traditional. They say, no. They will point you to the scriptures, even where Jesus did worse things, Jesus spitting on the ground, mixing with the mud to anoint the eye of the blind. So nobody can say, well, specifically in healing ministry, you must always use water and oil. That is the symbol that is very common, water and oil. It's what the church substitutes for herbs and for medication, tablets or whatever. But when people use other means, which looks like traditional, it is difficult to challenge. Because now, in Exodus, God, the children of Israel went to Marah, and they could not drink because the water was bitter. And God told Moses to cut some stick and throw it into the water, and the water became sweet. Well, that is ritual. That is something that these Africans do, and you cannot challenge it. So there are instances where healing process or deliverance can be effected through saying the word, and the miracle happens. But sometimes it doesn't happen unless you do other things.
Yeah.
And the disciples of Jesus ask him, why can't we do what you are doing? And Jesus explained to them, this kind of healing cannot be effected except through prayer and fasting. So there are methodologies available. And the choice of method, people claim, is according to the Spirit, is how the Spirit directs. So if a prophet says the Spirit directs him to go to the bush, cut some herbs and do some mixture and drink it, we find it difficult to challenge. So we do, although we have a council of churches, Cherubim and Seraphim, which is attempting to regulate the conduct of the churches, but we discover that it is difficult to be very definitive about these regulations. The defense is that as long as whatever they do not do it in the name of the devil, and of course, placing the Bible and mentioning the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, then.
Yes, okay. Just taking on from the point you made about control.
Yeah.
There are a few people in the CMS tradition, I mean, some of whom I know from the Nigerian experience, who do not quite lend a positive name to CMS. For example, Jesu Oyinbo. You mentioned him, but I don't know if you were mentioning him approvingly or not.
Mm.
He basically sort of set up an empire for himself with a harem of women and you know, a battery of children, and you know, lots of people who were under his spell, so to say, and did whatever he said they should do, you know, in the context that where you really couldn't challenge a prophet. If he says do this, he would do it because he felt that he was under the Holy Spirit of God, you know. What the same kind of thing that Jim Jones did, you know, years back and so on, that kind of thing. Is that why you are having that, you know? And is that why, for instance, it is difficult to challenge some of the practices? For instance, my father-in-law has two wives in the house, you know, and that's